Welcome this Sunday, April 3rd, 2022. This is the fifth Sunday of Lent. Our scriptures this week are Psalms 126 and Isaiah 43:16-21. Our gospel lesson comes from John 12:1-11. Title of our message this week is Easter's Grace, Servitude and Sacrifice. So if you would please open your Bibles to Psalms 126 and read with me. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. If you would turn to Isaiah 43:16-21. Starting at verse 16. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and the reinforcements together. They lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Our message scripture this week is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Verses 1 through 11. Jesus anointed at Bethany. Verse 1. 6 days before Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Well, then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Well, leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A little girl hugged her grandmother and said, you smell so wonderful, Grandma. Is that oil of old lady? Have you ever noticed how a particular smell or amount can bring back memories? You smell something, and before you know it, your mind has been taken you back to when you were a child. It's amazing how a little perfume could become so controversial, isn't it? So, what was it about this perfume that made it so controversial? I believe, as John records for us, Jesus' anointing at Bethany, to represent both the servitude and the sacrifice of Easter's grace. So as we continue our journey on this fifth Sunday of Lent, can we say the Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy, like the psalmist proclaimed? With our focus on Easter's grace, how do we show it? Are we like Lazarus, Martha, and Mary in our gospel reading, honoring our Lord in servitude and sacrifice? Can you almost imagine the actions of Mary and Martha responding to this psalm? Can you almost hear Jesus saying to Judas, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, and now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" As Isaiah wrote in 43:18-19. You know, police investigators know that sometimes there is such a thing as too many witnesses. If a dozen different people witness an incident, chances are they are going to be a dozen different versions of just what happened. Some basic facts might remain constant, but the details discerned by a dozen separate pairs of eyes will be perceived differently. Well, this week's gospel text tells of Jesus being anointed in a scene that is described in all four gospels, yet each rendition has a separate set of details. Matthew and Mark's versions, Mark 14:3-9 and Matthew 26:6-13, have the most in common. John's description is very similar to Luke's description in Luke 7:36-50. Luke has more differences, yet shares details with John, such as the wiping off of Jesus' feet with the woman's hair. While it may be impossible to definitively discern whether there was more than one public anointing of Jesus during his ministry, it is evident that all the gospel writers knew of it and found significance in such an act. So in John's gospel, this anointing takes place at the conclusion of Jesus' public ministry, just before he enters into Jerusalem for his final Passover celebration. In John's Gospel, as Jesus approaches Jerusalem, there is an increasing scent and sense of death. See, in chapter 11, John tells the extended story of Lazarus, his illness, his death, and his miraculous resurrection accomplished through the power of Jesus, the one who is the resurrection of the life. It is also the restoration of life to Lazarus, and that leads the chief priests and the Pharisees to begin actively plotting Jesus' death. Before entering into Jerusalem and the final phase of his earthly mission, Jesus pauses and takes some breaths. Jesus lingers in what was one of his favorite places, Bethany. This small settlement just 2 miles outside of Jerusalem was the home of his great friends, Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And Jesus had wept over Lazarus before calling him out of his tomb, but now he takes the time to celebrate a joyful special meal with his restored companion. The one who had been laid in his tomb was now reclining at the table alongside Jesus. And one can only imagine how pleased Martha, the consummate conscientious hostess, was to be able to serve the one she had witnessed, calling Lazarus out of his tomb, Jesus, and his disciples. So Mary, on the other hand, offers a different kind of service to Jesus. An anointing with this very expensive pure nard. John's text does not elaborate upon Mary's motivation for this action. Some commentators have suggested that Mary perceived better than the others the events that were about to transpire, and so, with this act symbolically prepared Jesus' body for burial by anointing him with this costly perfume. But it is Jesus' words in verse 7 that offer the interpretation of Mary's actions. Rather than assuming Mary was some sort of spiritual savant, it probably makes more sense to read her actions as one of extreme gratefulness for the restoration of Lazarus, and her utter humility, her servitude and sacrifice to Jesus because of that miraculous act. You see that in Near Eastern tradition, the head, not the feet, of an honored guest would be anointed at a banquet as a symbol of the elevated importance of that individual. So in Mark and Matthew's anointing stories, they're focused on Jesus' kingship. Hence, this pure nard is applied to Jesus' head. But here in John's Gospel, Mary's gesture not only highlights her humility before Jesus' presence and power, it also foreshadows the foot washing Jesus himself will offer to each of his own disciples in John's next chapter. John's focus is on servitude and sacrifice, not kingship and glory, at this point in his gospel. So with what sounds like a first-hand recollection, John describes how Martha and Mary's actions showed their thankfulness and gratitude for the gift of life given to Lazarus. Lazarus' body and his whole home, which so recently had been desecrated with what Martha had so bluntly described as a stench of death in 11:39, is now filled with fragrance of perfume. Jesus' presence had not just beat back death, it had transformed life, bringing an unexpected richness and sweetness. So into this fragrance environment, John warps a whiff of what is to come. John identifies Judas as a sour note in this atmosphere of sweetness. So John specifically identifies Judas Iscariot as the one who was about to betray him. So Judas objects to Mary's anointing of Jesus on what appears to be humanitarian grounds. The costly nard could have been sold and the money given to the poor. Judas' estimated value of the nard is 1 year's wages. That's 300 denarii, a sum that would equal to an entire year's wages, you know, 1 denarii a day of a common laborer. A truly vast amount. So John's text adds a revealing disclosure. According to John, Judas was the keeper of the money bag, the treasurer for Jesus and his disciples, and he was also a thief, embezzling from those donated funds for his own use. Although John is the only gospel writer to level this accusation against Judas, it is telling that almost immediately after being denied access to the funds the nard man had provided, Judas goes out on his own fundraising mission to the chief priests, offering them Jesus in exchange for 30 pieces of silver. Anyway, Jesus quickly quiets Judas' objection and defends Mary's extravagant action. Jesus demands Judas to leave her alone. Despite the festive circumstances of Lazarus' return from the tomb, Jesus himself brings up the topic of death. The nard that had anointed him had been kept for the day of my burial, he said. Although Mary might not have known or foreseen the use of the nard, Mary had clearly kept this costly perfume for some great occasion. Jesus let all presence know that Mary kept the nard so that she might keep it for the preparation of my burial. So in conclusion of our gospel lesson today, Jesus is a guest of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus at a dinner given in his honor. Jesus restored Lazarus to life, and the family is grateful. Martha prepared the meal, Lazarus entertained the guest of honor, and Mary took the family inheritance of perfume reserved for special occasions and poured the whole bottle onto Jesus' feet, wiping his feet with her hair. And the whole house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So as we leave here today, will you be willing to live a life of servitude and sacrifice, thankful and grateful for Easter's grace given to us by God, so that all that you and around you may know that what Christ has done in servitude and sacrifice for us. In his service. This has been Pastor Joe.